And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. And I'm talking about we covered down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. From way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gaston, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right. I got questions because I got people in the room with me right now. Boomer and McQueen time. This is my favorite time of the week. All right.
It's time.
She does definitely bring something to the studio when she comes in, Boomer. I'll be honest.
Sunshine.
Sunshine. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, she only says sunshine because that's what she was outside walking just now around the studio.
In the sunshine.
Because it was sunshining.
It's also your enigmatic personality, McQueen.
That's what it is.
But it's Boomer and McQueen time. So here's the deal. I got these two folks right here who helped make the show go. They're the ones who are in the background and sometimes the foreground doing amazing things. And they're also the host of the other part of the Right Side Multiverse, the Right Life podcast, which you dropped another one yesterday, right?
Another
podcast. Yes, we did. Yesterday.
Yeah.
It's a fun one.
Which has got tons of people already chiming in and tuning in for the Right Life podcast with you guys. But this is our time together. So you got some whoops for me?
Here we go.
Hit it. All right, Boomer McQueen time. Okay, so here's my first question for you. I'm not sure I get it, but here's the deal. The March Madness, Final Four games, men and women. At the end of the women's game, LSU and who was that, Iowa? Who was it, LSU and
Iowa? Iowa, yeah.
LSU and Iowa. And Jill Biden, First Lady Jill Biden, she's making some kind of comments. And she basically says, you know, because it's kind of a customary, the winners come to the White House. Mm-hmm. And she says, I think we ought to, that was LSU. And I think we ought to also, you know, maybe we should go ahead and invite both teams and have the Iowa team come also. And she has gotten more grief off of that. I mean, like, it's a viral slapback. Your thoughts on this, since you're both college athletes, all right, you start, McQueen. What are you thinking?
Well, my first instinct, due to the era that we live in, is the participation trophy award.
Oh,
I feel like that's how I first jump. I'm just going, oh my gosh! Like let's just have the winners there. That's all we need. Let's teach people how to lose.
If you lose, you don't get to come.
Yeah, that's how I feel. However, I did. Oh, not however. Also, I did see on, I think it was on Instagram, there was an interview with one of the LSU players.
Yeah.
That apparently she was also asked to come to the locker room before they played, and they were like, no, and they just denied her to come to the
locker room. They denied the first lady to come and
they
see them?
Denied.
Before they played.
I think Iowa and then accepted.
The girl goes, I don't know if Iowa let her come in or not, but that was all I saw.
Was that because it was a pregame and they were focused or because they just didn't want her to be there?
I'm going to go with the latter.
I was going to say, they're focused.
They're focused.
And then you're like, nah.
All right, so your thoughts on her inviting both teams there, Boone?
Oh, snowflake. I mean, that's easy. For me, it's like, come on, man. This is not a participation. Let's go walk around the White House time. Let's just let everybody in. I want the championship team there. They deserve it. They did what they were supposed to do. They won out, and they get rewarded for it.
I got to tell you, you guys are mean.
Just saying.
I say it nicely, though. He's just like, boom.
He's Boomer.
I don't like participation trophies.
No, I don't either.
I don't want my little one getting those little medals.
You made our two-year-old throw it away, right? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. He was four.
He was four at the time.
But you know what? Okay, so I get it. I do think that the winners are the ones that should go. I'm totally with that. But I feel like she's getting beat up for just trying to be nice and like being a grandma. She was just being Grandma Jill Biden.
Okay, if that's the case, she's just, you know, Jill Biden, just like Joe. She don't know what she's talking. They don't know what's worse. Now, I will say this. There's been other things that come out from LSU players that should not have come out.
Punks.
They just need to. They need to know their place. They are players, and they shouldn't speak out like that.
LSU, especially what's that one player's name?
Angel something.
Like Angel or Angela. She was the one that did the interview about not having her come to the locker room.
Just be. You know, you're a player. You should be. You know, obviously excited that you won, but you also need to know your place as a player of a university.
Yeah.
You're not an NBA player or in it.
You represent WNBA. A brand.
Exactly.
You do. Absolutely. And she's been nothing but a punk.
So
Well, I look at the whole thing, and I just think that Jill Biden was being sweet, was being a little gullible, was being a little bit, you know, snowflakish, but she is getting just hammered right now.
She is.
All right. All right, let's move on to another question here. Here you go. I've been an elected official, and I can remember when I got elected, it was funny to me. I realized, not that I didn't think it before, but I suddenly realized how normal these people are who are holding public office. Well, I say that in general, but what is y'all's perception of elected officials in general? Are they approachable? Are they accessible? Does their party affiliation change your perspective on whether you think they would be approachable? Tell me your thoughts. Boomer goes first this time.
Oh, I'm okay. When I was younger, I would be like, yes, I would not want to walk up to somebody because I was like, ooh, they're elected official. Nowadays, I understand they are people too. They put their shorts and pants on the same way I do, and they're accessible because they are. It sounds bad if I say working for me, but they're working for us. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, working. You know, to better benefit where we live.
I think that's true. Well, McQueen first, what you got?
Yeah. Well, I think there's kind of a little bit of a difference between being approachable and accessible. Cause I think some are, I think a lot probably are really approachable. I think sometimes the accessibility is a little more difficult just with things like, okay. I mean, obviously it depends on how high up you're going, you know, as far as these elected officials and just with, you know, security or just different their scheduling and things like that. So I think it can be a little bit different. And like my view doesn't necessarily change based on political party. I think it really just depends on the person. But I think also just kind of flipping this back to, I think, well, similar to what Boomer said, I don't feel like when we don't make the effort, they're really not approachable or accessible. And I think that's kind of where I used to kind of come from that point too, where they're not approachable, they're not accessible, but I wasn't making any effort but what the local ones, I mean, they're right here. I mean, I've been sitting in restaurants where the new mayor walked in and had a conversation with him because the person I was with knew him. And it's like, you know, but in the past I would have never thought that I could have a conversation with someone like that. So
yeah,
you just kind of have to, I think, put yourself out there sometimes.
I think that's true. I think too often people have the perception of the elected official as that person who's out there, but they're not. They're right here.
They're right here. Yeah.
And especially at the local level, you're right. They go to the same restaurants. They go to the same churches. They go to, you know, the same shopping malls, whatever. And people need to not put them on some kind of a pedestal. I mean, it's very cool. They're serving in whatever capacity, even if they don't serve the way I wish they would. The fact that they put themselves out there, and by the way, having run for office, it's scary to put your name on the line. I mean, it's like, okay, it's not just I'm hoping you'll think that I'll do a good job. It's you're voting on me, you know, and that can be daunting. So getting out there and running for office is sometimes a big deal. I don't care if you're running for dog catcher,
right?
But they are not anything but normal people who just have an abnormal job.
Yeah, and I think you make so many sacrifices too when you're in that position that. And you want to be recognized as a normal person and not, you know, kind of having people scared of you or whatever.
Well,
so.
Some do. Some like to be recognized as special.
And, yeah, that's true.
And on the local level, a lot of people don't realize that they have other jobs as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's very true. You know? True. Yeah.
And so, I mean, again, they're working for you. They want
to
do...
To be our voice, yeah.
You know, they should want to do a good job for you, but they also have other jobs. It's not their only thing.
Even in Montgomery, the entire legislative branch is part-time. We called it my full-time, part-time job.
Full-time, part-time.
My full-time, part-time job. But yeah.
And I didn't actually know that until a few years ago.
What's amazing, you know, I thought I understood the systems down there and what was happening in the state house. Then I got elected and I went down there. I was like, oh my gosh. But then, you know, I also had people that I'd be going to Montgomery to do my thing and they'd say, so how much time do you spend in D.C.? Well, really none. You know, I went there on vacation. It's kind of cool. Anyway. All right, you guys, that's a perfect place to stop. We'll take a break right there. We'll come right back. I'm with Boomer and McQueen. Oh, these two. They just do stuff, man. They make it work. Boomer McQueen, go into a break.
In a second.
And we will, like, okay, I just bragged on you, Boomer. And now you just
big
hit.
Big stuff happened.
Would you hit the fail button over there? What does happen?
We're going early, so I have to do like three more steps.
All right, you guys. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio with Boomer and McQueen. And we will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative. Just plain right. Making it cool to be a conservative. So back right now, my favorite segment of every single week. We call it Boomer and McQueen. And let's do the whoop-whoops again. Okay, there we go. All right, so we're back with you guys. All right, so we already ran through two questions. That kind of went quicker than usual.
Fast.
So now we're down to that part where I have to sit back in fear and trepidation to see what kind of question do you want to ask me. So you going first, McQueen?
I'll go.
All right.
Yeah, I'm ready. So I think it was yesterday it was announced that Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Jr., I believe, is running for a Democrat candidate for the presidency. So I would love your thoughts on that, because there seems to be a lot of things that I agree with, and I would just love your thoughts on it.
Well, it's been a long time since a Democrat sitting president has drawn a primary. Now, Joe Biden has not said officially he's running yet, right? So everybody believes he is. But I think he's also holding on because he doesn't want to be seen as a lame duck because he announced he's not going to stay. But that being said, he's not announced. But usually there's this respect thing about, well, we'll wait and see what the guy in the seat does first.
Mm-hmm.
No. Right now you got one wackadoo, Marianne Williamson. She's a wackadoo. But read up on her. She's fun.
Okay.
But anyway,
She's
running. I don't mean a little bit. I mean like, wow. Like, what you smoking, Marianne? But she's already announced she's running. And then on top of that, now we have, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who, he's a lawyer. He's the nephew, by the way, of former President JFK.
Right?
Yeah. So he brings that Kennedy name. And it's going to be odd. But the first thing that strikes me is, I mean, I don't know if he's going to have the fundraising. I don't know if he's going to have the chutzpah. He certainly has the name. But is he going to be able to beat the sitting Democrat for a primary run? But the other piece of this is, oh, daggum, the sitting Democrat drew a primary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like,
it's a big deal
within your own party. That's a big, hairy deal.
Yeah.
There's my thoughts on that.
Huh. So it just got interesting, basically.
It just got in. And
it wasn't interesting enough.
And Marianne Williams is going to make. I mean, Marianne Williams, she might be there with a crystal ball and a voodoo doll on stage. I mean, I'm just telling you, she's a wackadoo.
Oh,
you got one for me,
Boone? I got one for you.
Oh,
so,
what you
okay,
got?
So hitting a little close to home for McQueen and I.
Yeah.
We lived in Nashville.
You did.
Riots at the Capitol.
Oh, yeah.
But the question is, I just saw they're trying to expel the three House reps there at the House. So, and the first one that said that they were expelling is House Representative Jones.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Well, so first of all,
I know we already talked about the insurrection.
Yeah,
2.0,
insurrection 2.0. But you know what, though? If anybody's guilty of potential insurrection activities, it's those three. So here's the odd piece. They are claiming that they are victims of a Republican MAGA attempt to control the flow of things. No, there are House rules. They are sworn in to uphold and defend the Constitution of both their state and nation, right? And they are also required ethically to abide by the rules of their body. In this case, it's the House of Representatives in Tennessee. So the other day, Insurrection 2.0, the state house in Tennessee was filled up with protesters. And these three knuckleheads decided to actually take a megaphone onto the floor of the House and disrupt the proceedings, shouting in a megaphone that they stand with gun rights activists and gun control activists and all this stuff. And basically, those three shut down the House of Representatives. They had to adjourn because they couldn't get any work done because they were protesting on the floor. Now, they're trying to make this play about how, oh, the speech of the people was being silenced. No, actually not. Nobody outside there protesting had any of their speech silenced. You knuckleheads shut down the House of Representatives, and you know you're not supposed to. So, yeah, they're voting on them one at a time, and I'm seeing where they just expelled the first one. Not censured, not removed him from his committee, expelled him. So I don't know for how long. I don't think you can unelect somebody, but you can – you can ban them from participation for a period of time, according to those House rules.
Wow.
So I think they deserved it.
Wow. Absolutely.
If it had been Republicans, if it had been Republicans, I'd say they deserved it.
They deserved it. They broke the rules.
Yeah, go out there and be an elected official. Don't be an activist on the state floor.
Right.
Vote how you want. Give your speeches, filibuster if you want to. You're not allowed to stand up there and protest on the House floor during the middle of proceedings with a megaphone and shut down everything that the state's business is supposed to be about. Mm. By God.
There you go.
All right. I like that one. All right. I tell you what. We got through a question from each of you. We got through two questions from me.
Flying.
And then when we have time, we go into stupidest story of the week. So who's got my stupid story? You Boomer.
We haven't gotten to do the stupid story in a while.
I know. So this is where
we usually get really riled up about all these other questions here.
All right,
just can't stop talking.
We set aside the serious business,
and
we set aside serious business, and we look at the stupidest story of the week. Have you got one, Boomer?
I got one.
What you got?
All right, a New York patient, ambulance joyride ends with police spikes. So what happened was, someone was picked up by the ambulance. Oh yeah, someone was picked up by the ambulance, taken to the hospital. They got their treatment and stuff, walked right out, and the ambulance was just sitting there with keys in it. So they decided to take it for a joyride.
Oh my gosh.
And they were about 20 minutes or whatever into it. Obviously the ambulance has GPS, so they found him, but he wouldn't pull over. So the police had to spike their own ambulance
their first responders had to spike the first responders.
Exactly.
That is crazy.
So it was a patient that took the ambulance.
You know what?
In New York.
How ungrateful is that?
How ungrateful, exactly.
I mean, it's an ambulance paid for by your tax dollars. Yeah. Yes. And, oh, by the way, they just may have saved your life or somebody else's, and then you stole it, and now it's offline.
And, yeah, they can't go pick up anybody else that needs help.
How long did the chase last?
About 25 minutes, 20 minutes. Somewhere in there.
That's a serious chase.
God.
All right, you got one? Come on. Don't tell me you don't.
Well, I kind of do, but also it's like a previous one because we haven't done this in a little while. So, and now I'm not going to be able to find where it was. But basically, these kids, well, they were like high schoolers. They decided
silly
high school kids. They were inspired by the Kool-Aid Man. And you know, remember how the Kool-Aid Man used to like go through
run
walls?
Run through the walls, yeah.
And all this stuff?
Yeah.
So, yes. So that was their inspiration. And they decided to try to do that. So they were doing that through, like, with their car, though. Crashing through fences and stuff like that.
Were they making the sound effect?
They didn't share if they were making the Kool-Aid Man.
They literally said they did this because they were inspired by the Kool-Aid Man.
Yes, that's correct.
They've been drinking some Kool-Aid, I'd say.
Kool-Aid.
Extra.
Got a little something.
That was some college Kool-Aid, yeah.
Yeah, like they were underage on that Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah. So that was why they were crashing through fences was because the Kool-Aid Man.
Where was that, do you recall?
I think it was somewhere in like Texas. I can't remember exactly where, though.
I can see some Texas boys doing that.
But
I can see some Alabama boys doing that.
I can see some Alabama boys doing that, too.
It usually starts off with, here, hold my beer, watch this.
Watch this, guys.
Nothing good ever starts off with, hey, hold my beer.
Or, I have a good idea. That's usually not good either.
Yeah.
When you're drinking Kool-Aid.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
We made it through a whole segment.
We did.
This whole thing never happened.
Here, Boomer, hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Boomer, McQueen, love you guys. All right. That's one of my favorite, not one of, that's my favorite time of the week. All right, Boomer and McQueen, they've got a podcast, the Right Life podcast. You can pick it up. It's out there where all podcasts can be found. We're coming right back next on the Triple Dipper, Transamerica. Ooh, this is going to be interesting. We'll be right back.